DW, Living Planet, with Irene Quayle.
Hello, good to have you with us. This week on Living Planet, we'll be taking you to one of the most important ecosystems on the planet. The Amazon Basin is the largest rainforest area in the world. Countless animal and plant species are at home there, as well as several indigenous peoples who still avoid any contact with the outside world. But the Amazon region is under threat from deforestation and development. The situation has become even more critical since President Jair Bolsonaro took office in January this year. The new government has dismantled conservation agencies, questioned the need to combat climate change, and has cut the budget to enforce environmental laws. Protecting the world's biggest rainforest is not on President Bolsonaro's agenda. The latest satellite data shows deforestation of the Amazon rainforest in Brazil has sped up to the fastest rate in a decade. One of President Bolsonaro's projects is to open up a protected indigenous reserve for mining.
So, for the indigenous, there are hard times ahead. And the same goes for those who live along the river and for black people. Because Bolsonaro wants to develop Amazonia, and developing Amazonia means more deforestation. So that will happen on a whole new scale from now on.
Brazil's vast rainforest is critical for the world's climate. Forest clearance and activities like gold mining pose a threat to what's often described as the lungs of the planet. People who want to protect the rainforest say the pressure on them and on the Amazon basin is increasing every day. Ivo Marushek travelled to the state of Pará in northern Brazil, where development projects are eating away at the jungle. His feature's presented by Keith Walker.
A boat engine interrupts the silence along the Rio Xingu River that flows sluggishly through the jungle. Giant trees shade its banks, branches and lianas reach into the water. The islands and sandbanks are flooded now during the rainy season. There's an abundance of green everywhere. At this section of the river, the traditional lands of the indigenous people, the forest is still pristine. But only a few kilometres upstream, it's a different picture. There are some gaps in the dense forest. Bald hilltops are visible on the horizon, tree stumps along the shore. Some charred trunks rise up into the sky. Not long ago, the forest was still intact here. The Rio Xingu is situated on the Brazilian agriculture border, the boundary between the pastures and fields in the south and the rainforest in the north of the country. The border is being moved northward bit by bit. It has now reached the traditional land of the Paracanhap, indigenous people of the Rio Xingu. Caravora is the cazica, the chief of a Paracanhap village.
We see deforestation, gold prospectors, timber merchants, many non-indigenous intruders invade our territory. They come to our land and that's when the problem starts. Then the big landowners cut down everything to create large pastures for their livestock.
Cavora steers the boat from the wide Rio Xingu into a small tributary. Here, the border of the agricultural land is clearly visible. On the right bank, the forest has disappeared. On the left, it still stands, and there are signs warning intruders that this is where the area of the indigenous people begins. No one is allowed to enter. But despite that, more and more often, there are also traces of intruders here. Muddy paths lead into the undergrowth. Stumps testify that trees have been cut down. And a bit further upriver, someone has fixed a steel cable across the water to operate a small ferry.
Pull the rope over.
The intruders crossed the river here into the indigenous territory. Here they have built a bridge to cross the river.
Land conflicts like the one unfolding here on the Rio Xingu and its tributaries are common in Brazil. Pará, the Brazilian state stretching between the huge soy plantations in the southwest of Brazil and the Amazon region, is particularly affected. Large landowners are driving small farmers off their plots, forcing them to move into previously untouched forest areas. The landless occupy unused plots, and soy farmers turn more and more former pastures into farmland. The situation is often violent and bloody. In recent months, the pressure on the indigenous reservations and on the nature reserves in the Amazon region has increased even more. Cavora says the number of intruders has multiplied since they feel encouraged by the new government of President Bolsonaro.
This has been going on for a long time. It also happened under former President Lula da Silva, who had officially placed our area under protection. But the new government of Bolsonaro is actually asking cattle breeders to invade our indigenous territories, and they are cutting down large parts of untouched jungle.
Deforestation is by no means the only problem in the area. A raft appears behind the next river bend. Red hoses protrude into the water. Pumps rattle. Illegal gold diggers operate here. In an indigenous village close by, José Clinton Curioso confirms the number of gold prospectors has sharply risen in recent months.
These activities have increased a lot since the new government took office. In the past, there was some gold being mined near the indigenous territory. Now there are quite a number of mining sites. You can see lots of rafts of gold prospectors along the riverside now.
Curioso works for CIMI, the Indigenous Mission Council of the Catholic Church in Brazil. Most indigenous people in the region are not Catholic. The majority actually attend the evangelical Pentecostal churches. But CIMI is one of the few non-government organizations active in the indigenous villages. The gold diggers rummage through the riverbed looking for tiny grains of gold. And they are not limited to the river, but they also dig for gold in the forest along the banks of the river and its many tributaries. With excavators and large pumps, they dig big craters into the soil of the forest.
The activities of the gold diggers is the real big risk for us today. They cause huge damage. They pollute the rivers with mercury, and because of the pollution, the fish die. You can even see that the color of the water has changed. It's different from before. And the indigenous people drink this water. They also bathe in it. Their villages are on the same rivers where gold is being mined.
The gold mining town of Taboca is just 8 kilometers away from the border of an indigenous reservation. Mountains of sand and debris line the city streets. There are numerous holes dug by excavators, now filled with murky water. A no-man's land that used to be part of the rainforest not too long ago. Taboca is not on any map. The town sprung up here with petrol stations, brothels, and above all, many tool shops. German chainsaws and pumps are popular with Brazilian gold miners, as the advertisements indicate. It's all illegal, says a police officer from Força Nacional, a police unit set up to protect indigenous areas. But the 4 policemen in town can do nothing against thousands of gold diggers. A few months ago, a group of angry gold prospectors even attacked the police station and set a bridge on fire. In order to eliminate illegal gold-digging towns, the state would have to take targeted and massive action against the gold diggers. But that won't happen. After all, Brazil's new president says he is one of the gold diggers himself.
My father used to dig for gold for a long time. It's in our blood. I always have the sieves and tools with me in my car, and whenever I can, I stop at a river and dig a little.
He never made a secret of his affection for the gold diggers, most recently in the 2018 election campaign.
Let me tell you, my father was a gold prospector, and I respect this profession very much. The government must treat you properly. You are citizens and workers. I believe in you. Brazil belongs to us.
The original custodians of the forests, the indigenous peoples, cannot hope for the support of the new president. Bolsonaro has repeatedly made it clear that he wants to develop and exploit the Amazon region. He wants to build roads and to get rid of environmental regulations. In his view, there is still ample space in the Amazon region for pastures and soy plantations. He has also announced that he will no longer grant more land rights to indigenous peoples. Under his government, not even a square metre of additional soil is to be designated as indigenous reserve. That despite the fact that Brazil has a historic debt to pay. Since 1988, the right of the indigenous people to their land of their ancestors has been enshrined in the national constitution. These areas were to be surveyed and marked within 5 years. Today, more than 30 years later, only half of these areas have been designated as indigenous lands. In reservations, the indigenous people can live according to their own rules and customs. That's according to their traditional and sustainable way of life. But the president does not approve of the idea of giving back land to its original owners.
What is the problem with the reservations? I want the indios to integrate into society. I have talked to many indios who speak Portuguese. They want electricity and doctors to treat them, and a TV and internet and to play football. They don't want to live like animals in a zoo, like the indigenous groups and these NGOs like CIMI preach it. They want everything to stay that way. And if we then want to build a dam, that is not possible because you are taking a piece of land away from the indios. And then the industrial countries will immediately start a trade boycott.
Since January, Bolsonaro has been Brazil's president, and one of his first steps in office was to tackle indigenous policies. On paper, reservations still enjoy strict protection, but Bolsonaro has consistently disempowered all the authorities who used to be responsible for the protection of indigenous rights. FUNAI, the indigenous authority, is no longer responsible for surveying indigenous lands. The authority has been placed under the control of the Ministry of Agriculture. And there, the big landowners with their gigantic soy plantations are in charge.
So the indigenous matters now fall under the jurisdiction of the very ministry that's controlled by the evangelical faction, the big agribusinesses and the weapons industry. These are the groups that don't care about the indigenous. How are these politicians supposed to decide on the establishment of new reserves and removing intruders from these areas? They won't do that at all.
That's according to Curoso of the Indigenous Mission Council, CIMI. He's not the only organization criticizing the new policy. All NGOs concerned with land conflicts and the protection of the indigenous population agree that since Bolsonaro won the election, the pressure on indigenous territories and other protected areas has increased enormously. The boundary between agricultural land and protected rainforest is being literally overrun. And this increasingly leads to violence and even murder. Lawyer Pedro Martins works for an organization that supports small farmers in land conflicts, Terra de Delitos.
Bolsonaro is responsible for everything that's happening now. Murders have been committed. They don't have anything to do with Bolsonaro directly, but they are motivated by his speeches in which he becomes more and more uninhibited. When a tragedy happens in a school in Brazil, there is a connection to Bolsonaro talking about making firearms accessible. And if his supporters say that people should arm themselves, that is a real threat, especially to blacks and women and people in conflict areas in the countryside.
Especialmente para as pessoas negras, para as mulheres, para as pessoas que estão em áreas de conflito no campo.
It's not only gold diggers and cattle breeders who threaten and cut down the rainforest. Perhaps even more threatening are the effects of large-scale projects designed to develop the country. Like Trans-Amazonica, that's a road from east to west that cuts deep into the Amazon region. Aerial photos show that the route has become the axis of a large-scale destruction of the jungle. Deforestation zones, starting from the road itself, have eaten their way 30 or 40 kilometres deep into the forest on both sides of the highway. Where the Trans-Amazonica reaches the Rio Xingu, another major project has emerged. A grey concrete wall now dams the river. The Belo Monte Dam will be one of the world's largest hydroelectric power stations. Huge electrical transformers are humming, and heavy trucks are driving back and forth here. Construction continues since the dam is not yet finished. But the last turbines are to be installed before the end of the year. Once the basins are completely full, the Belo Monte Dam will dam up the Rio Xingu and its tributaries, turning them into continuous chains of reservoirs with a total surface of some 500 square kilometres. The project affects half of the Amazon basin, inundating large swathes of rainforest and displacing tens of thousands of people. The local residents don't call the dam Belo Monte or Beautiful Mountain, but Belo Monster.
We call it a monster because it's destroyed our lives and nature. Everything is broken. We used to live from fishing, but the dam took it away from us. It's a monster because it stole life from our lives. When they diverted the river, the fish disappeared. Now, there are no fish left here.
Francineia used to make a life from fishing. Her eyes flash furiously when she looks at the concrete dam. 30 kilometres upstream, thousands of people had to be resettled because their neighbourhoods were inundated in the reservoir. But the dam not only interferes with the lives of the fishermen and the people who used to live on the shores of the rivers. Antonio Mello is head of the organisation Xingu Alive Forever and says it's turned the whole region upside down.
Eles falam.
The company and the government always claim that this is a great project, a great accomplishment also for us. But our river has been destroyed. Families were scattered in all directions, their way of life destroyed. The indigenous people were destroyed and their cultures. I was one of 5,000 people displaced from their homes. So much suffering. This is actually not a great project for us.
Especially since the local residents themselves do not even benefit from the electricity generated here. They still get their electricity from other areas. The electricity bills in Altamira are said to be the most expensive in Brazil. And Francineia says the city has changed for the worse.
What's changed is the crime rate. It's now very high here in Altamira. We used to sit in front of our houses long into the evenings. That's no longer possible, not even briefly during the day. If we do that, criminals appear immediately.
In fact, within a few years, Altamira has transformed from a sleepy provincial town to one of Brazil's most violent cities. That's thanks to a new road and the dam project, says Erwin Kreuter, one of the most prominent opponents of the Belo Monte project. Austrian-born Kreutler was the bishop of Altamira between 1981 and 2015.
What we would have expected and what the people here had hoped for has not happened. The merchants and entrepreneurs in Altamira had expected a rain of gold. They thought they were going to become very rich, but all that has not happened.
The energy company Norta Energia declined to talk to journalists to present its view of things. In the meantime, the Belo Monte Dam has become a reality and can no longer be reversed. It was former left-wing president Lula da Silva who drove the dam project forward. But people in the Amazon region fear that Belo Monte was just the beginning. There are dozens more dam projects. Kreutler fears that Bolsonaro will push ahead with major projects in the Amazon even more ruthlessly than his predecessors.
So, for the indigenous, there are hard times ahead. And the same goes for those who live along the river and for black people. Because Bolsonaro wants to develop Amazonia, and developing Amazonia means more deforestation. So that will happen on a whole new scale from now on.
New roads, new dams, clear-cutting for pastures and soy plantations, new mining projects. This future threatens the Amazon region, the largest rainforest on Earth, the world's lung. One of these projects is directly related to the Belo Monte Dam. The Volta Grande, or the Great Bend of the Xingu River, has largely fallen dry. That's because of the diversion of the river. Now a Canadian group, the Belo Sun, wants to create a huge gold mine there.
They only want to stay there for 12 years and want to mine 60 tons of gold during this time. And then what? Their motto is, after us, the deluge. They'll be leaving again. It's a Canadian company. The Brazilian environmental laws are a mockery compared to the standards and laws in European countries. The companies come here, and all the waste they create will remain.
The BR-163 highway, 300 kilometers west of Altamira. Heavy trucks thunder past every minute. It's also called Soy Road. It connects Santarém, a large city on the Amazon, with the state of Mato Grosso, which is dominated by huge soy plantations. Currently, this is the only road from the south up to the Amazon. Santarém is 700 kilometres away from the delta, where the Amazon flows into the Atlantic Ocean. The river is wider here, so even ocean-going ships can moor. This would make the Soy Road, which is still to be extended, the fastest and cheapest way to bring pulses grown in Mato Grosso to destinations all over the world. There is already one large soya port, and four more are set to be built. And that is why local people who rely on the Amazon River for their livelihoods are afraid for their future. Just like fisherman Antonio Castro Suarez.
We will be forbidden to fish here. Soon we won't be allowed to go onto the riverbanks anymore. And also the water will be polluted. It will get muddy and dirty. So far, if I want to catch fresh fish, I've come here to the harbor area and throw out my net. This is my livelihood. But if there's more construction here, that's the end of it. And what are we going to do then?
Swampy forest covers the shore, and there are already new signs which mark the area as private property, the place for the new soy harbor. The soy that's shipped from here feeds cattle and pigs in Europe. But the development will damage the livelihoods of the local fishermen in Santarém and also impact the forest areas along the Soy Road. Raimundo, another fisherman, is devastated.
We have filed a complaint. Construction has been officially halted since then. But as you can see, they just keep going. A petrol station is being built here. The water, which is still very clear and clean at this point, will become very dirty from the mud. And it's not only getting dirty from the sludge, but also from the toxins that run into it. So we lose our work, nature loses the fish and the whole forest at the same time.
The companies that are pushing for the port projects also do not want to talk to journalists. These days, they know they have all the backing they need from the capital, Brasilia. For years, Agriculture Minister Teresa Cristina led the faction of the agriculture industry in Congress. Among other things, she also pushed for a weakening of the rules on the use of pesticides. The Brazilian president thinks that the country already has much more forest than other countries, so soy cultivation, the construction of roads, dams and mines, and the clearing of forest areas can all be encouraged. It doesn't seem to matter that a series of laws, especially the rights of indigenous people, are being violated.
I would say that here in Amazonia there is a deliberate absence of the state. Right here, where the agricultural land borders with the rainforest and where there are rich mineral resources. And there's the attempt, and that is not justified from my point of view, the attempt to ignore that indigenous peoples have been living here for thousands of years, because their very existence is contrary to these interests.
Que fazem um contraponto a esses interesses.
Ironically, the man who says this represents the state in this region. Luis de Camoises Boaventura is the public prosecutor in Santarém, the third largest city in the Amazon region. He confirms the notion that there is a big effort on behalf of powerful companies and politicians, with the approval of state authorities, to curtail and undermine the rights of indigenous people and small farmers, and to circumvent or completely disregard environmental laws. He says that the exploitation of the Amazon region is being violently pushed.
The land allocation processes for traditional areas have been deliberately stopped, and we see an enormous increase in rural violence. Virtually every week a local leader is killed, someone who is campaigning for land reforms. So the violence in the countryside is increasing very quickly, but the state is not doing anything to improve the situation. On the contrary, the state is actually suggesting it will exacerbate the situation. The Amazon region of Brazil is experiencing one of its worst moments.
Vai agravar esse quadro. A Amazônia brasileira vive um dos seus piores momentos.
The public prosecutor also says it is not enough to just point the finger at Brazil, but to also question the role of other countries. After all, who buys the tropical woods or the soy from the Amazon region? The villagers of Açaizal welcome visitors with a dance. The village is only half an hour's drive from Santarém near the Amazon River. It exemplifies what happens when indigenous people don't live in a protected reservation. The thick forests that used to surround the village have completely disappeared within a few years. Instead, soy fields reach right into the village. Only a few metres away from the houses of indigenous families, long rows of soy plants are grown today.
It's getting worse and worse here. Our elders get sick. Our animals disappear, just like the animals of the forest. This is due to the use of pesticides.
That's according to José Nildo Munduruku, the young cacique, the village head. The chemicals used here include glyphosate, which is sprayed in large quantities in Brazil to kill weeds and all other plants, except the genetically modified soy plants. The effects of pesticides and herbicides are critically discussed in Europe, but it's indisputable that here in South America, it's used in much higher doses than required. A few days ago, the soy farmers sprayed some additional toxic herbicides in the area around the village. They're designed to also kill glyphosate-resistant soy plants. The method is called desiccation, dehydration. Withered plants can be harvested more easily.
Respiratory diseases occur more frequently when these toxic substances are sprayed on the plants. It also causes nausea.
The cacique also says that pressure on the indigenous communities has increased in the last few months.
We see how their self-confidence is increasing. Now they say quite openly, things have changed, there is a new situation now. They do whatever they want now. They used to be more cautious, but that's over. The system supports them. We have noticed that they have great confidence in the new government, that they now can go unpunished, especially when it comes to environmental issues.
Since the election of Jair Bolsonaro, every day has been a struggle for survival for his village and for all Munduruku people. But they are determined to take up this fight.
That feature by Ivo Marushek was presented by Keith Walker. And that's it from Living Planet for this time. This episode was produced with the help of Sarah Steffen, Anke Rasper, Michael Springer and Iliane Giaducci. I'm Irene Quayle. Until next time, thanks for listening and bye for now.